Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Welcome into Attacking Third, where we are recapping the United States Women's National Team She Believes Cup match against Japan in the first semifinal and the first match of the She Believes Cup. We are going to go in-depth analysis, recapping this game, dissecting every inch of it, because there is a lot to talk about. Alongside Sandra Herrera, Jenny Chu, Darian Jenkins, I'm Lisa Carlin. The United States gets a 2-1 come-from-behind win over Japan in front of a record-breaking crowd, over 50,000 in Atlanta, the best attended United States women's national team friendly on U.S. soil ever in history. At the U.S., after going down a goal early in the opening minute of this match, the U.S. powers back with two goals from Shaw and Horan to advance to the She Believes Cup final. Darian, talk about an exciting afternoon. I mean, I wasn't really expecting this type of thriller. What were your initial reactions from the match?
I mean, I stood up to fill up my soda stream. I'm addicted, by the way. You're going to see this in every pod we do. And Japan scored within the first like 30 seconds of the match. I couldn't believe it. I was hyped that that happened. Not obviously the conceded, but we just knew it was going to be an interesting game from then on. Japan came out swinging. I think that they scouted really early that Jenna Neiswanger, if she started, she was going to be the one to press. They were pinging balls over that left side for the first 30 minutes of the first half, and it worked well for Japan. I like that they came in and were what we expected, going to expose the U.S. in areas that other teams haven't yet, and they took advantage of it. But what I'm most proud of seeing with the U.S. is their response to it. Coming back, winning this game 2-1, I think it's a big testament to how far this team has come just in the last few months that they've been together, because the Olympics are crazy. That's going to happen. Teams, you know, fluke things happen. Teams are going to come out swinging the first 10, 15 minutes of games against the U.S. especially, and seeing that they have a good response to it and all of the subs that can come in was great. And also Mount Swanson, she's amazing. She was the glue that this team has been missing, I think, since she got injured. You could tell that this team just gels together so much more with her on the pitch. She is everywhere, doing everything all at once. And I was sad that she came off, but it means that we get to see her again in the second match. So I'm hyped.
Well, I asked for initial reactions. We got like 15 reactions.
Sorry, I didn't know where to put my mind. Everything came up.
That's the energy though. Like I'm like, we're all just here, just like, yes, nodding our heads in the background to Darian. Cause it's just like, that's what it is. I think all the bases are covered there. Like this game, it was exactly why the United States wanted to make sure that they went up against Japan in a condensed version of the She Believes Cup. I mean, 30 seconds in, you're immediately handed a test. Like they probably had to just immediately pivot to like all their what ifs or their game plan B or game plan C. I loved that this game required a response immediately. And we got to see that.
Jenny, what'd you think?
Yeah, Lisa, I think the biggest thing is that Mallory Swanson is back. And like Darian mentioned, she is that glue. Everything changes now that she's on the field. I think the energy she brings to the table, the opportunities that she created that wouldn't have been a thing without her was incredible. For me, Sam Coffey continues to be the person that is like the linchpin for this team. She has to take a bow. I think that the journey that she has taken from not being on the roster to now being that player that you're thinking, well, we needed a replacement for Julie Ertz, and we would never say that someone can replace Julie Ertz, but you're starting to think, you know what? She has that ability now. She has the ability to make those tackles that Julie Ertz was making. I think that defensive presence is there. And then, you know, like we broke down in the last match, or sorry, in the last attacking third, her ability to go forward right away. And that's how the goal comes. So, you know, I think that in these matches, you can either play yourself onto this Olympic roster or play yourself off. And for me, a few players played themselves onto the roster, like as for sure picks for me.
Oh, Jenny, I like that shout. A little teaser. We'll get into that later in the episode. But Jenny, you've been on the Sam Coffey train for what feels like years at this point. You're definitely the conductor. We'll let you take that one. So She Believes Cup this year, it's a new format. It's not round robin. The four nations competing, Canada, Brazil, Japan, and of course the United States, they've all qualified for the 2024 Paris Olympics in just a few months from now. So this She Believes Cup is just two matches, the semifinal and then a final. So today's U.S. versus Japan match was a must win for the United States in order to advance to the She Believes Cup final, which is going to take place on Tuesday. Let's run through the starting lineups for USA versus Japan. We'll start with the United States and their starting 11 that they rolled out with Alyssa Nair in the back, Jenna Knight-Swanger, Tierna Davidson, Naomi Girma, Emily Fox, Sam Coffey, Lindsey Horan, Jaden Shaw in the midfield, Mallory Swanson up top, Alex Morgan, and Trinity Rodman. So this is the sixth different starting lineup by the U.S. in just seven games so far this year. But Mallory Swanson, she headlines the starting lineup 364 days after rupturing her patellar tendon. Swanson returns almost a year to the day. We all gave our predictions for the starting lineup. I don't think any of us got it right. We tried our very best. But Jenny, what stands out to you about this 11 that the U.S. rolled out with?
Jaden Shaw as number 10. I feel like for everyone watching NWSL, that's something that we've been wanting to see, but we never really saw with the U.S. national team like consistently. You know, we were playing her on the wing. We were trying to find ways to make sure that she was on the field, but as a wing player. And I think that one of the things that was a downside for her is the defensive presence. Yeah, she has the ability to attack, but you don't want her in those positions that she has to defend because what she does on the attack is so important. So seeing her as a 10 for me was really exciting heading into it. And then I thought, you know, she's the one who gets the goal. And there's multiple things that we can point out later on in the show that she does well in that 10 position. And obviously the midfield still needs to build, but I'm excited for the potential for her to play number 10 for this team.
Darian, any surprises in the 11?
Yeah, I actually was a little bit surprised that Shaw started at the 10 as well. But I do think, I don't know, what do you guys think? I was considering maybe it's because Rose isn't in, that position's a little bit more open. I wanted to see Dunny come in earlier, actually. But I was surprised that Knight-Swanger started in this match. But I get it. She needs to have challenges against teams that are going to really ask questions of her going 1v1 defensively. We know that she's suave and dynamic in the attack. We don't see her get to defend 1v1 a lot. I think she proved herself in this match. I thought she did really well. She had a lot of good last-ditch tackles. After the first goal, her positioning got a lot better. She was very aware that they were trying to play over the top on that side. But I thought she did really well. So I think she's made a huge case for herself in the next match and the Olympics.
Yeah, not a ton of surprises for me. I'm in agreement with you, Darian, a little bit about Knight-Swanger. I would have thought that Gold Cup final with Crystal Dunn, I thought she kind of really reminded folks about who she is and what she provides, how she has been the player that has been identified with that left back position for literal years at this point. But it's a pleasant surprise because I think these are the games, right? These are the teams that you want to see these newer faces go up against, that you want to see how they're going to handle moments of chaos, and Nyschwanger got presented with some of that pretty early on in this match. So I think in hindsight, I'm glad she got the start, because it was good to see her sort of built into the game. And of course, I mean, it was great to see Mallory Swanson on this starting 11. It wasn't so much a surprise, because I think we've seen, you know, three club appearances for her with the Red Stars, where she's gone three starts, has played 80 plus consecutive minutes. So the idea of her getting a start in this game wasn't out of the realm of impossibility. So to see her in there, it was great. And I mean, she's back. Mel Swanson is back. She's backer than back. She's back.
You're exactly right. Swanson is back. I think a couple of us had her in our predicted starting 11 in that front line. And Darian, to your point about Shaw being in the midfield, I honestly think Kilgore wanted to have more attackers on the pitch. Mm-hmm. And Shaw has the flexibility to play in the 10 or to play up top as a striker. And so why not kind of use her in multiple roles and see how she does? Because so often at the international level, we've only seen Shaw in the front line. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be times, specifically during the Olympics, when Shaw has to rotate in the middle, whether it's due to injury or just player fatigue, minute management, things that happen actually in match. So being able to have her actually fluctuate and do that against a tough Japanese side and play in the midfield, I was impressed to see Shaw there. I'm glad we got to see her in the midfield. And her and Alex Morgan have the connection from San Diego club play that actually helps them, I think, a lot as they kind of build up their international play together. Okay, ladies, we have to talk about the opening 5 minutes of this match. Darian, you alluded to it, because the first whistle blew, kickoff happened, and before I was even comfy on the couch, you were getting up to get your soda water, your soda stream. Mercedes-Benz Stadium went absolutely silent. Over 50,000 people. You could hear a pin drop through the television. Japan had a 1-0 lead 30 seconds into this match. The U.S. got exposed out of their left-back position, where Jenna Nyschwanger's role is to push high. And Japan put a big red circle on that on their whiteboard and said, that is where we are attacking. The opening goal coming from Kiko CK for Japan. The first goal the U.S. women's national team has conceded in the first minute of a match since 2003. Where was the breakdown on this play, Sandra, when you were watching it unfold?
You know, I think credit to the team. They obviously wanted to get off on the front foot. We saw that buildup happen immediately. But as soon as the ball was lost, zero hesitation from Japan to recognize how the United States wanted to start off and ultimately finish this game. It is a credit to their adaptability, their technical ability on the ball, their presence of mind, their vision and awareness to know that, okay, they're going to want to come at us. This is how they're built. There's going to be moments and gaps to expose. And they did that. And unfortunately, there's a highlight reel for USA to go back and take a look at and try to improve on. There's a miscue there, you know, Nyschwanger's on there. And even, you know, Tara Davidson trying to get back in recovery gets there, right? But when you have that much space, when there's that much of a gap to expose, and you know how clinical Japan can be, I mean, my goodness, they showed us all throughout the World Cup, just giving an inch, give them an inch. Clinical, great finish.
Darian, what do you think? You're nodding along with that. Is with Nyschwanger being up really high, is that kind of the exposure that you wanted to see Nyschwanger tested, 1v1 defending and kind of how people went at her? Is that the test you wanted to see?
I mean, not necessarily. I think this Japanese team obviously scouted that that's where the U.S. was exposed, even on Fox's side. They didn't do it so much in this game, especially at the start. It was definitely Jenna Nyschwanger who they were relying on going forward. But it wasn't the 1v1s I wanted to see just yet. I think she got challenged in her positions, because it's a lot of risk and reward when you push an outside back up that high, especially when Seiko's fast, but not extremely fast. She was still able to get on the end of that. Tierna Davidson didn't close that space down, I think, quickly enough. I think she was worried about getting into the 18, to the frame of the goal, before going out and applying pressure, which, looking back, I'm sure the U.S. will do this. There's nobody else for Japan running into the box at that point that's threatening enough. She needed to go out and block her from attempting a shot on goal. So I think that it's a good challenge because the U.S. is still figuring out this new tactics, how they're interchanging positions. The versatility of the outside backs is a huge thing that the U.S. is working on. We saw Fox again as a mock six at certain points in the match. But I like this because it's going to make Niswonger grow a lot. It's going to make this back line grow a lot, seeing them be exposed and challenged in these ways where other teams are seeing Japan do this and putting that in their notes going against the U.S. thinking, okay, this is what we need to do. Come out, swing hard, get some shots off early. But I like this because the U.S. grew through it. Japan didn't have too much after that. They tried again. Niswonger's positioning was better. Davidson's positioning was better. Yeah. They grew from it.
The growth, Jenny, that did come ultimately after it. Is it the shakeup that the U.S. needed to kind of be put on their heels in the opening 30 seconds of this match?
I mean, I don't have a problem with it at all. You know, the fact that that happened, because I don't think that the U.S. would ever let that happen again. Now that it has happened, they know to be aware that that's where people are going to, you know, try to attack them. I think they already knew just in the conversations we had during W Gold Cup that, yes, they attack high and people will know that. But kind of recognizing that they're immediately looking for that ball in behind. And what do you do is just going to allow them to tactically have an idea for it, because other teams will see that and say, how do we score? Now they're going to know what to do in that situation, right? I did want to say, I thought Jenna Niswonger was great on the attack. I know that, you know, there was different comments about maybe Crystal Dunn starting. I had Casey Krueger in mind. I'm actually really happy that I was wrong to see what Jenna Niswonger brings to the table on the attack. Consistently on that left side, she's the one creating, she's the one I'm part of all of the attack. I personally, like, that's my favorite I've seen her play, and for that and for her versatility, she's on the roster for me. We talked about I was like, the way that on the attack she does so much for the team that is not rewarded. I mean, like, you don't really put the highlight on her because she's two steps before the highlight, right, that comes out. She's doing so much on the attack, and I really like her as a player, and I didn't know she wasn't on my roster to begin with, and she is now.
Well, Jenny, now she's on your roster. I like that shout that Niswonger is going to the Olympics. I honestly think so too. She was so threatening down that left flank, and her and Swanson combining on that left side proved to create some fireworks at time and really cause trouble against Japan. Swanson had a really, really good opportunity, the best opportunity the U.S. had prior to the 20th minute. In the 15th minute, it was off a turnover. Horan then slips it through to Swanson, and Swanson keeps the ball tight. She has good footwork in the box, and ultimately it's a goal line clearance from Japan. But at that point, it kind of felt like, okay, the U.S. is coming back from going down in the opening minute of the goal. And then the 17th minute happens, and Naomi Girma, the starting center back who has solidified her spot as a leader on this team, goes down. She ultimately comes out of the match. Abby Dahlkemper subs in. David Gonzalez, we as well need a Naomi Girma update. There is a presser right now with interim head coach Twyla Kilgore post-match, and Kilgore said, quote, Girma is getting evaluated for a right thigh injury and we'll learn more shortly. I'm sure there'll be more information out of this U.S. camp because the United States does play again in the She Believes Cup in just a few days, but how concerning, Darian, is this injury to Girma at this point?
Well, when she initially went down and how she was getting tested, it looked like she has a strain or something in her quad. Obviously, we're not certain. Maybe it's just a little knock or something like that. But I'm thankful it's not something more serious. I'm glad it's not a knee injury. That's something we're seeing that's so prevalent. And luckily, with a quad, you can be back in 4 weeks if it is some sort of strain. And she's a healthy player. She's rarely injured. I think she'll come back really quickly from this. And especially being with the U.S., they have a great medical team. Looking forward, she'll be fine. I'm not that concerned about how this fits for the Olympics or her spot on the national team. She's made her spot, in my opinion. I don't think there's anything to worry there. But it was good to see Dahlkemper come in and be able to fit into this back line. You know, knocks happen. Players have to come in and out. Knowing that you have another center back that can come in and fill that role and play really well out of it, and it doesn't cause any sort of hiccup for the team, was really good to see.
So as this match continues to go on, Abby Dahlkemper comes in. The U.S. is building up a lot. Jenna Knight-Swanger down that left flank. Jenny, she is just electric. Combining with Swanson, who can get in line. Rodman has an opportunity on the back post. And it felt as if the pressure was building for the United States. And ultimately, a goal does come from Jaden Shaw in the 21st minute to level things up. She gets the equalizer, a shot from the edge of the box for Jaden Shaw. And now that is her fifth goal in five straight career starts for the United States. She's the first U.S. women's national team player to ever do that. And it comes from a turnover, Sandra. So the high press against Japan worked, put them under a little bit of pressure, as we saw evident in this goal.
We love to see a plan come to life, right? And the execution be there. Jaden Shaw is just... I think we're running out of words and phrase right, for this player. It's I know we're just coming off of reacting to Girma, you know, players who have sort of made this lock for themselves. But this is also someone who is coming off of a World Cup where we were also saying she was the best player for the team as a World Cup. Jaden Shaw doesn't necessarily have that resume yet for this national team. And the fact that we're roughly 4 months out from the Olympics and we are talking about this player in near lock capacity for an Olympic roster, I think is probably the highest praise that we could give a player trying to crack that Olympic roster. I mean, the stat is unreal. The fact that it's five goals and five starts, that as the youngest player to ever do so, like making history, senior national team history along the way while trying to have these good performances and impress your coaching staff and say, hey, you need to take me to the Olympics. It's been incredible. And the way this equalizer comes too, like where it's just Coffey recognizing the space, Shaw saying, I'm here. And just like, just the quickness and just saying like, I'm going to take this shot, knowing that you have the confidence and ability to connect on goal from distance. I think that's what you want to see from your players against, you know, opponents like Japan and in the buildup to an Olympics. Show that you may be young, but you're not playing this game as if you're young.
Sandra, I think the only question I have is you saying that she's a near,
get out of here. Yeah, I'm going to cut you off.
That was wild. Here.
I'm not even going to let you finish that. Come on.
That was wild because she's 100%.
Well, save it for our Olympic lock show.
She is a lock through and through. And you know what? I think one of the biggest things that I learned on the ground when I was working the W Gold Cup is the relationship that Twyla Kilgore has with her and how much she's basically like taking her under her wing to teach her how to play these different positions. She said to me specifically, Jaden is being asked to do things that she's never been asked to do before. So that's why she needs so much help, right? Like what they're expecting of this player at such a young age is extreme, is for her to get out of her comfort zone. And that takes a lot of talking. And Twyla is constantly in her ear. And I think that, you know, Twyla Kilgore deserves some credit for how successful Jaden Shaw has been in these past few games.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. One thing we need to think too about Shaw, with her playing the 10, she plays all across the front line. She's great in the air. She's great at threading passes through, playing in between the seams. Her versatility to play in these positions is going to make her a player that's really hard to keep off of an Olympic roster. I think seeing her start at the 10, do well, have that boldness and audacity to take a shot from distance, just a quick 1-2 touch finish near post, is really impressive. And I can't wait to see what she does next. Maybe she'll be in a different position. Who knows? And she'll be still scoring bangers. I don't know. She's so impressive.
Yeah, they'll throw her in the outside wing back position and be like, who knows? you have the freedom, Shaw. Go anywhere. We'll see. That's why they do the lineup graphic in a straight line down, because they're like, hey, we don't know where Shaw is going to end up.
Yeah.
Impressive play from Jaden Shaw to start this match and ultimately get the equalizer in the 21st minute. The United States goes into halftime level 1-1 with Japan. They took a break at that point. We're also going to take a break right now. When we get back, we're going to talk about some locks, who else needs to impress, and second half, where the game-winning goal came for the United States. Don't go anywhere.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hey, welcome back to Attacking Third. We are chatting United States women's national team 2-1 win over Japan in the semifinal and the first match of the She Believes Cup that happened Saturday afternoon. The U.S., they get the win. They will advance to the final. That'll take place on Tuesday at 7 p.m. in Columbus, Ohio. But the United States went into halftime 1-1, level at the break. They continued to grow throughout the first 45 minutes. We didn't see any subs at halftime for Twyla Kilgore. We did see subs ultimately as this game went on. Just after the 60-minute mark, Emily Sonnet came in, Casey Krueger and Sophia Smith taking out Jaden Shaw, Emily Fox, and Trinity Rodman. We did get to see a couple more subs later on in the match, but initial subs coming in and game changers helped to kind of break things up for the United States, that ultimately the U.S. gets the game-winning goal in the 76th minute off of a Sophia Smith drawn penalty kick inside the box. Lindsay Horan steps up. She puts it away with conviction. Fourth goal of the year, the third from the penalty spot for Lindsay Horan. But the sequence of events in the second 45 minutes that ultimately had the subs coming in, Sophia Smith, who draws this penalty kick, Jenny, and then ultimately Lindsay Horan putting the goal away. Did you feel like this game-winning goal was coming from the United States at this point? And who did you think was going to be a catalyst of it?
Catalyst? I don't know. But I think that it was very obvious that the creation was happening, right? There were so many opportunities for the U.S. to score, and they weren't getting that goal. And I think in the first half, it could have been three goals easily with the opportunities that Mallory Swanson was creating. Trinity Rodman also, I thought she created a lot of chances, and I was impressed with her play today, especially on the attacking side of the ball. But I think we knew a goal was coming, right? I honestly expected more from Japan in this game. I was kind of confused about certain players not starting the game, Sandra. I know that, you know, that's probably something that I want to talk about a little more, is like Japan didn't come out the way I expected them to. Yesterday, I was trying to make sense of who the U.S. was going up against in this Japan team on a podcast. And I was saying, like, this was the best team we saw in the World Cup. This was my favorite team to watch play. We didn't see any of that. Does that credit go to the United States in not allowing them to have as many balls floating as they did during the World Cup? I don't know. But I think that I'm happy to be talking about a positive about the U.S. women's national team, right? We had so often talked about how this wasn't good enough during the W Gold Cup, and it doesn't feel good, right? Like, it doesn't feel good to talk badly and to be disappointed, but to finally be in a place where I'm like, this person deserves a spot, this person did well, these people are combining well, is like the height that I'm on right now.
Did you expect more from Japan, Sandra, throughout this and the way that we did see them play at the World Cup?
Yeah, no, I feel where Jenny's going with it, because I think part of this too was that we hyped this opportunity as well. It was like, yes, they want to make sure they play Japan because they were one of the best teams in the World Cup. And part of that was their ability to kind of fluctuate and change up their tactics when necessary, and their ability to recognize that pretty quickly. So I think obviously they got a really good start to this game. But what ended up happening was it took about the exact amount of time for the United States to respond, like in terms of stealing back the momentum of a game. You would think that scoring so early, 30 seconds into a game, will absolutely deflate, maybe another team, another program. But this United States team, coming off of the Gold Cup run that they just had, are showing us a little bit of a different energy. They're walking with a little bit of a different swagger. It's the confidence that they're playing with is evident. I like that we have had games where we're talking about maybe specific players, like Shaw's a player that we've been talking about constantly, but in each game during the Gold Cup, we had a player that maybe we could look at individually and say they did something individually that impressed us. So the fact that the United States were able to respond so quickly to that absolutely, I think, forced Japan out of the own rhythm that they themselves were trying to maintain. And I think that is not only a credit to the players, but the coaching staff as well, and communicating that effectively to the players. Like, hey, we actually really don't need to change things too much. You could tell it's like they wanted to get into that high press. They wanted a high line. And just because they conceded a goal that early, they didn't actually stray from that a bit. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I appreciate. I think it's something that we could see as a clear difference from their World Cup performance to now in 2024, where they have belief in themselves. And we didn't really see a lot of that. I think during the World Cup, when they kind of saw that things weren't working for them, they still tried really hard to fit that circle peg into that square peg. And so it's refreshing to kind of see the layer of confidence that comes in with the game plan.
Definitely the game plan for the United States was to stay on the front foot. And I was really happy with the response that we saw from the U.S. after conceding the goal in that opening minute. As this match went on and we saw the subs come in around the 60th minute, then the game-winning goal happens in the 76th minute from the spot from Lindsey Horan. We got to see a few more subs come in. Crystal Dunn came in, Katarina Macario and Corbin Albert taking off Mallory Swanson, Alex Morgan, and Sam Coffey, respectively. There is an update on Sam Coffey sub. Twyla Kilgore said that it was a head injury and it was just a precautionary substitute, just to take an abundance of care of Sam Coffey, but ultimately Corbin Albert coming in. And we got to see Katarina Macario return to the United States women's national team after nearly 2 years being out on an injury. Darian, I want to ask you about the subs and the six players that we saw come in for the United States and their impact on the game. Did you like these subs? Was there someone else you wish had come in?
No, I really like these subs. I wish Macario came in sooner for Morgan. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's, you know, heavy minutes and training and she needs to rest. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe they were giving Morgan some more time to try to find her groove into the game, because I felt Morgan was a little bit of a disconnect to most of the U.S.'s game plan. I'm not really sure where the missing connection was with, like, the runs, the where we're laying passes off, like when we're checking too. I think it just didn't gel. There wasn't as much of a flow as we've seen her in previous games. So I wanted to see Macario come in, get minutes. And I really actually wanted to see a dynamic trio of what I had in my starting lineup of Rodman, Smith, and Swanson up top. I would have loved to see that. I think that's a really scary, dynamic front line. But I wasn't really surprised by these subs. I didn't really like how tactically the U.S. changed. They sat really back, went into kind of a five back and allowed Japan to take a lot of set pieces. And the U.S. looked exposed again on set pieces where Japan could have punished them and just didn't. But it raises little questions for me, switching to a five back in a game like that.
Why?
I understand you want to win, but what you were doing was working. Your press was working. You had fresh legs coming in who understand what you're asking, who are really good on the ball, who also want to score more goals. Why not go out and try to score in different dynamic ways, allow these players to go forward? Because you need players in that small roster you have that can manage a game in that way without having to just sit back and allow a team to have set pieces and corners and try to even the scoreline. So that was a bit off for me, but other than that, I liked all of the subs. I love seeing Macario in. I don't know, have much else to say.
Yeah, no, I feel that, Darren. It's like they were cooking with gas and they were like, turn it down. Like,
yeah.
Like let's shut it off a little bit. And I kind of thought that maybe that would be the energy when Macario came in. And it's like, yeah, we're talking about a player that came in late into the game. We all, I think, maybe agree that we'd like to see it a little earlier. But this is, I was also equally excited, even if it was like 12 minutes, because Katarina has come into some of her games and needed like 2 minutes to have mm-hmm. an impact on a game. So I was like, yeah, this is fine. Like getting her out there for 10 to 12 minutes is perfectly fine because look at what she's already doing with Chelsea. But you get players out there and then you switch the formation and then it was like, oh no, like that part was maybe a little deflating because it was like, okay, so what are you really asking of this player in particular? Mm-hmm. Because we saw her sitting up there higher, just kind of being that floating, like floating forward. And while Crystal Dunn all of a sudden was like, look at me, I too can be a third center back in a five. Yeah. That was like the thing that we learned. So a mixed bag. I'm in agreement where it's a mixed bag for the substitutions. It's like great to see them. Great to that they made them all. Great that we're still in a She Believes couple. We're seeing more players get minutes. Like they're rotating them in and out. But if you're making them, what are the lessons that we're taking away? And I think like when we're getting more from the veteran in Dunn versus the player that you're celebrating back after 2 years, it's a little bit like a toss up for me.
Yeah, and then why make the sub with these attacking players to have them sit back? Yeah. And if it's her first game back in 725 days with the U.S., why don't you have her in a position where she's going to be doing what you need her to in real time, in real attacking positions? Why are you having her sit back?
Well,
I think it was they're trying to work on the five back just in case they need to. You know, it's good practice. It's a good time they're up. But I didn't love it.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, Darian, about it maybe like being a practice thing. But for me, like the practice is like all gas. Like the practice is, how is the U.S. going to be on the front foot most of the time? And I think bringing Katarina Macario in and then asking her to basically kill time in the corner if you get the ball, like don't actually attack because we're in that game mode that if we are winning and towards the end of the game, this is what we do. I didn't love that. I'm like, so we're not testing anyone and we're not building the relationships that we need to build mm-hmm. in a moment like this. Because again, I don't care if they win the game. I care that there is this dynamic where the players are building relationships with each other and making the passes they need to make and understanding the system. So I was disappointed in that as well, but hey, we move on to the next round. You get another game and you get some more time. And I hope, yeah, Katarina Macario gets an opportunity. Like I said, she was on my starting roster, so I wanted to see her more than anything. So for her to come in at the end, I'm like, come on, give me more time to see what she can do.
I mean, even more time, yes, but more time when she's not the lone striker that's like the only one high with, you know, 17 other people behind the ball. Like there was mm-hmm. just, it didn't make any sense in that moment to have Kat come in that sense, right? Like that's not the role that she's going to play. She wants to be a goal scorer. She wants to be able to combine and grow that relationship, whether it's in the 10 or with the striker, as a striker, with the wide players, whatever it may be. That relationship didn't get tested at all. Not even for a second, because immediately we saw the shift. And it almost looked like, with the five back, but it was like Dunn almost acting as the outside left back in a four back yeah. because Nyswanger was so high. She didn't drop back. So it was like a 4-5-1 to some extent. Like it, does this mean, Darian, like that's what we could potentially see at the Olympics if the U.S. goes up a goal?
I think maybe. Yeah. Sadly, I do. But it's also... Yeah,
it's also not any guys. It's fine.
I know that's literally what I was just thinking. Like, there's not a point to it for me unless you're really getting broken down by a team and you're just trying to stay alive. those are the moments when you make those big tactical changes and you sit really far back. You just, you know what? We're going to box defend, get your heads ready, put your hands behind your back. We're just going to head everything out. We're going to clear it, boot it. But the thing is, it didn't make sense in that time. But I think seeing that now, it's early signs of, you know, when the U.S. is up and the game's tight going to the Olympics, we're definitely going to see a 5-4-1 or something like that.
You were going to sub on all of our attacking players.
All the attackers go on. You're all defenders
and
now.
Defend. And now you have to learn to defend. Well, ultimately, Mercedes-Benz, all 50,000 plus of them got on their feet for a largest record-breaking crowd for a home friendly in U.S. Women's National Team history. And they were loud when Lindsey Horan hit that game-winning goal in the 76th minute off the penalty spot to give the United States ultimately their win. Throughout the rest of the match, a lot more of exciting things to come. We kind of touched on it, but I want to spin it forward. What does this mean for the Olympics? And of course, for the next She Believes Cup match, the friendly that will take place on Tuesday. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a very quick break and we're going to chat about it.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, welcome back to Attacking Third. The United States get the 2-1 win over Japan in the semifinal of the She Believes Cup. They advance to the final, that match taking place on Tuesday, April 9th at 7 p.m. in Columbus, Ohio. The opposition yet to be determined. It could be Canada. It could be Brazil. TBD on that one. Later this afternoon, we'll find the results. But I want to talk about what the U.S. can take forward from this match. What is one thing, Sandra, that you liked from the United States or maybe they need to improve upon before they play in the She Believes Cup final in just a few days?
I want to see the interchange still. I think that's been my favorite part of this team in 2024. Whether it's Emily Fox all of a sudden turning into a defensive midi or, you know, even Jaden Shaw showing us that she can, you know, handle things anywhere on the pitch. I'm loving the fluidity and the freedom and the interchange by this team in 2024. So I want to see more of it, I think, and feel and see the return of Mel Swanson, that that's a player that can help just contribute to that kind of energy as well. So I don't know if she's going to play as many minutes on Tuesday, but just having that player in your arsenal of talent, I think just continues to boost up the morale of the team and what they're building right now in terms of ball progression. And look, they conceded a goal in this one. Can't act like they didn't, even though it happened 30 seconds into the game. So obviously defensive recognition is still there. I liked the game from Sam Coffey today. I think this is one of her best games in 2024, because I would argue that defensive recognition was maybe one of her weaker points, you know, for some of these games. And it's probably what kept her out of a lot of previous games, you know, in 2023 and the buildup to the World Cup. They want to see these players do all of these good things on both sides of the ball. Even if you're a forward, guess what? You have to have energy to defend. And if you're a defender on this U.S. national team, you got to have energy to attack. So I just want to see the continuity of all that.
You know, one thing that you mentioned there, Sandra, that last bit about making sure that all players are defending, you earn a lot of respect with your teammates when you do that. Like I've heard different conversations about certain players that don't defend, and it's just like a, we're all working and you're not, kind of like, come on now. Even, you know, when we're playing pickup, it's like, Jenny, come back and defend. And I'm like, yo, come on, I'm too old.
Exposing yourself, Jenny.
I can't do that. But really with this U.S. team, there are certain players that have learned that, you know, that maybe before that was the complaint. That was the downside of their game. And now you see them making and tracking back. Trinity Rodman is a big one for me on that. But, you know, for my points, I think Trinity Rodman and Mallory Swanson working together up front, like they work together and in different ways, right? But just the abilities that they both have on the outsides as attackers for this U.S. Women's National Team, I love. They bring different aspects to the game. They're not the same player, but they're both players that I want to see on the field. I mean, Trinity Rodman's flair, like for her to have the guts to do certain things that she does, no one is expecting and no one is ready to defend the things that she does. But then she finishes the play, right? It's not just like those players that want to show that they can do certain things and then they waste the ball. Like, no, she then finishes her plays. For me, I think if you have to be picky and you have to point out one thing that I want them to kind of go back and look at and film is the line in front of the back four, right? So the line in front of the back four between or behind Sam Coffey, that little break there, Japan had two passes into that space. They don't have like the power or that finishingness that they need to kind of continue to build from there and make a really difficult opportunity. But if a team did, say you're facing a bigger team in the Olympics, just the fact that they can find that space, I feel like that's the most vulnerable position right now. And that's being picky, right? That's not like, oh, I saw it five times in today's game and I had to point it out. That's me saying this team has grown so much and I love their tactical presence and the ability that they're now, you know, communicating on the field and defending really well. That's being incredibly picky, but that's what I would kind of pick out in film for Twilight to go over with this team.
Love it's it. Good to be picky, Jenny. This team wants to be the best in the world. They want to win gold at the Olympics, and they're not going to get there without, you know, they can't leave any stone unturned at this point. All right, Darian, what about you? What do you want them to take from this match?
I'm with the Sandra on this. You can't concede that early in a match. I love that they had the response from it, but I think they showed being exposed in that way really early on. And then the set piece at the end of the game, we've been critical in the U.S. not marking well on set pieces. Other teams know to go against the U.S. on set pieces. Those are moments that they can finish. We've seen it time and time again. It didn't, luckily for the U.S. this game, but it's something to be wary of, that they need to get locked tight, because, you know, I understand when you have subs, especially Coffey going down, because I believe it was Albert's mark that got the header. Your role coming into a match, especially when there's injury, it's last minute, you're fumbling through papers, you're trying to organize other people, especially when you have a tactical change that throws things off a lot. But I think that's something that needs to be on lock, because these teams do not play on set pieces. Biggest highlight for me, Mallory freaking Swanson. The Davidson, Nyswanger, Swanson, all over the pitch, I thought. They had such beautiful sequences of play in the game that Japan didn't know what to do with. Those three players in particular for me have really, really good chemistry. I think they all play similarly. They highlight each other well. They let Mal Swanson just do Mal Swanson insane, impressive things. And I love it. I love that she's in good form, looking confident. She was definitely the best player on the pitch, both sides to me, this game.
So for Mallory Swanson, does that mean she's packing her passport for Paris?
Yeah. Another thing I took note about, players, another element that players we need to think about when we're picking our Olympic rosters or whatever, she can take set pieces. She can play all over the pitch. She's very versatile. Those are huge things that I'm sure Emma Hayes and Twyla Kilgore are considering, and Mallory Swanson can do all of the above.
Darian Jenkins, you're going to need to, you know, control your fro to put on your coaching cap there as you're taking lists about who needs to go to the Olympics.
I'll develop a hat big enough where I can keep the fro.
That's right.
Oh, Jenny, you gave us some names that you think are going to the Olympics, but anyone throughout this match that you are hands down, like, here is your ticket and your plane ride, we'll see you in Paris?
I think Mallory, for sure. You know, heading into this, they as in her and Katarina Macario, didn't go to the W Gold Cup, even if they might have been maybe ready, because they were saying, like, let's make sure that they'd have their preseason and they don't get injured again, protect these players, because the goal was always they're going to make this Olympic roster, right? The goal was always for the future and to protect them for the bigger matches. So I think she's a lock. And if today, like, she was a lock before, right? Considering W Gold Cup, not this one, but the one before that we had in Mexico, she was outstanding. I mean, outstanding. If she's half the player, I was like, I want that player on the roster. If she comes back at a 50%, I want her on the team. And she's back and she's way over 100 right now. Like, just the way that she's playing, without a doubt, she's on the roster for me. Sam Coffey's also on the roster. And I mentioned Trinity Rodman, awesome. And Jenna Neiswanger, something really important, like, really important to this team, especially with the versatility she brings. I will say, I didn't mention it, but Tierna Davidson was also really impressive. And really, she has to come back from an injury. Like, the story that is the Tierna Davidson story that Sandra knows better than anybody because of the Chicago Red Stars and the closeness there. Impressive, impressive, impressive. And you need that. You need that stability. She has the speed in the back line as well. There's a lot of, like, stable players that play that center back position, but they're not quick. Tanner Davidson beating the Japanese players multiple times. I'm going to let you know, the Japanese players are quick. And I was incredibly impressed. I was like, okay, Tierna, I did not know you had that in your locker. I didn't know.
Yeah, Tierna, she's trying to book her ticket to Paris too. All right, Sandra, who are the locks going to the Olympics after this one match?
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I think Davidson and Swanson are players that are like, here I am. Yes, you did miss me. And I'm going to the Olympics. Those are the players who are locked for me. Shaw, obviously a lock for me. I would say that Coffey is inching her way as a lock for me as well. So
yeah, I agree pretty much on all of those across the board. Coffey, but there are some that, like, I thought were locks. Like Davidson, I thought after the W Gold Cup, she was a lock for me. Mm-hmm. That this is no longer an evaluation period for players like Davidson or Girma. There's a handful of them, right, that are probably not in consideration anymore. They're going. But someone like Sam Coffey, I think her ability to step in, break up play, ultimately get the assist on the equalizing goal to Shaw, is she showed a lot of growth and maturity throughout this match that I hope continues into the next game for the United States. But to me, Sam Coffey was a lock that maybe wasn't heading into this match, and now hands down, she is. The United States, they get the win. They're advancing to the She Believes Cup final. I want to know really quickly from the three of you who you want the United States to play, because Canada-Brazil is happening right now. The winner of that match will take on the United States in the She Believes Cup final. Sandra, who do you want the U.S. to face, Canada or Brazil?
I want a rematch against Canada. I want a dry, nice, decent enough weather match against Canada. I want to see it.
Well, we're checking the weather report for Columbus, Ohio on Tuesday to make sure there's no rain. All right, Dee, what about you?
Yeah, Canada, very much so. I think way Bev Priestman is having this team play the way that the U.S. is playing. We didn't get to see the tactics, the fight that is always in those matches with the U.S. and Canada in the last game because they were all swimming. So that's the rematch I want to see. I'm with Sandra.
You know, I don't mind, Lisa. Either way, like, they present different challenges, and I just want to see them tested and tested and tested by different things, different teams. So I really don't have a preference on who they play.
Yeah, I like that. Clearly, the U.S. wanted to play Japan.
Let's go.
They get the win. I want to see the U.S. play Canada, though, and Bev Friesman's side, whether she does continue to evolve the tactics under her – like lineage at Canada soccer and with this women's national team, but, or if they go a bit more direct, I think it'll prove a different challenge for the United States because Japan went direct in the opening minute and they found the back of the net. So it'll still test the United States no matter what Canada throws out there. But ultimately I want to see a CONCACAF Canada USA final in the She Believes Cup, but we'll see. U.S., they defeated Japan 2-1, goals from Lindsey Horan and Jaden Shaw. So they will advance to play the She Believes Cup final on Tuesday, April 9th, that match kicking off at 7 p.m. in Columbus, Ohio. It'll either be against Canada or Brazil. But thanks everyone so much for joining us for our U.S. Women's National Team recap. Make sure to follow Attacking Third wherever you get your podcasts and take a few seconds. Leave us a rating and a review, especially on Apple Podcasts. And if you miss a live show, you can watch us on YouTube, youtube.com/Attacking Third. Subscribe so you get alerts when we are live right here on the Tube. But most importantly, you can catch us on CBS Sports Golazo Network every Monday and Thursday for all things women's soccer. For Jenny Chu, Darian Jenkins, Sandra Herrera, I'm Lisa Carlin, and our entire production staff, this was Attacking Third.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.